This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. The Health News Digest on the Bigger Picture. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back. It's Sina Kamila alongside T. Shaik for our fourth installment of our Common Concerns segment. In this caller segment, we address some of your most pressing health concerns with some help from the experts.
No case is too trivial, starting with this one.
I'm worried about TB coming back. Why is the BCG vaccination only for children and can I still get the jab at age 28?
So BCG, which the full name is Bacille Kalmet-Guerin, is a vaccine for TB, which has been in use since 1921. And in Malaysia, BCG is part of the National Immunisation Programme. Correctly, as our listeners said, it's given to newborns at birth. We no longer give the booster shot at the age of 12, but children without the scar or without a vaccination history will still be given a shot when they enter primary school. Now, the vaccine has a documented protective effect, up to 70 to 80% against meningitis and disseminated TB in children. And these two are the main causes of TB-related childhood deaths. Interestingly, BCG is less effective in preventing the form of TB that infects the lungs. It does not prevent primary infection or reactivation of latent pulmonary infection, which is the principal source of the disease spread in the community. Now, about one third of the world's population has latent TB, which means, which is where you have been infected by the TB bacteria, but you have no symptoms, you are not yet ill, and you can't transmit it. And latent infection can develop into active if your immune system becomes compromised later in life. So the question was, can the BCG vaccine be given to an adult? Yes, it can. It's indicated for adults up to age 35, but it is actually not effective. Only those adults, again, up to 35 of years of age, only the ones who are working in high-risk jobs where they could come into contact with people or animals infected with TB, so healthcare workers, would be offered the vaccine. According to the Malaysian Adult Immunisation Guidelines, BCG vaccination is only considered for healthcare workers in areas where multidrug-resistant tuberculosis is prevalent, where there is strong likelihood of infection, and when comprehensive infection control measures have failed to prevent transmission to these healthcare workers. So a reminder for our listener who asked the question, people with a past history of TB should not receive the vaccine. This is because they have an increased risk of adverse reactions to the vaccine. So if you're one of the many who probably have a latent infection, which you would be able to find out by testing, you actually can't get the vaccine. And of course, BCG is contraindicated in people with immunosuppressive conditions, including those with HIV. So let's just get a reminder from Dato' Dr. Christopher Lee, Head and Senior Consultant Physician of Infectious Diseases, Hospital Sungai Buloh, who was in the studio recently, to just tell us about what are the symptoms and tests for TB.
Common symptoms like fever, chronic cough, night sweats, people need to be aware. So if you're having a chronic cough, you know, you've got to go and see a doctor and get yourself sorted out. The common test we would do will be a simple chest x-ray, which is a standard test available everywhere. And look at the sputum, get some good quality sputum to look for the bug in the sputum. This is a standard test, simple test. So once you've found the TB bug, it's confirmed TB, then the treatment can get started. Another test that can help us suspect TB would be what we call the Mantoux test. Something, it's a skin test that you a needle with a bit of tuberculin, you inject into your skin on your forearm, mm-hmm. and you wait for a reaction over the next 2 to 3 days. It doesn't tell you whether you have active TB, but it tells you whether you've been exposed to TB. So if your Mantoux is very reactive after 2 to 3 days, then they'll say you've been exposed. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you are having the active infection now. It doesn't mean you are infectious now. So then we have to, number one, check you out, ask for symptoms, look for symptoms to see whether you may have active TB somewhere. I would do a chest x-ray to see whether there's activity of any lesion in your lung. And if you have symptoms with sputum, we'll get you going.
And our next question is from a listener who wants to know, what's the deal with vitamins? Do we need it? And if so, which ones?
Short answer, no. You probably don't need those multivitamin supplements. There are exceptions though. For example, if you are pregnant or planning to get pregnant, you are going to need folic acid, which is a type of B vitamin, which is proven to help prevent birth defects of your baby's brain and spinal cord. People with certain medical conditions that interfere with nutrient absorption, such as Crohn's disease or anemia, may be prescribed supplements by their physicians. We often think that the healthcare system only cares about making money, but this 2013 study is in fact by one of the most renowned healthcare institutions, Johns Hopkins Medicine, where the researchers concluded that multivitamins don't reduce the risk of heart disease, cancer, cognitive decline, or an early death based on an analysis involving 450,000 people in the US. And in March this year, researchers from the University of Toronto pretty much confirmed this with a separate study as well. At best, multivitamin supplements are a waste of money, but while there's a growing body of evidence suggesting that multivitamins offer little or nothing in terms of health benefits, some studies are also suggesting that high doses of certain vitamins might cause harm.
Over-vitamization. People who take too much vitamins develop more lung cancer, and this is associated with the beta-carotene vitamin in particular. They've done this big environmental study looking at patients who over-vitamize on beta-carotene and they develop more lung cancer. The story doesn't just stop with lung cancer. The same for prostate cancer. Vitamin E and selenium over-vitamization is associated with more prostate cancer and more aggressive prostate cancer. So there's increasing evidence to show that when you over-vitamize, you increase your risk of cancer. People think that vitamins are antioxidants and antioxidants are good for you because they remove the free radicals from your system. But people don't realize that free radicals in your system are also important to kill the cancer cells that are nascent or developing. So this is a yin-yang thing. Too much of a good thing is not a good thing.
That's Dr. Tolai Man, consultant clinical oncologist at the recent BFM Extreme Health event, warning us about the dangers of over-vitamization. So as long as you're eating, you probably have enough vitamins, and indeed you are better off getting your daily dose of vitamins through a balanced and healthy diet rather than spending a fortune on supplements. Use that money to buy healthy food.
I think that rounds up, it brings us back to the message you said earlier, the dose makes the poison. Just because something is good doesn't mean you have to take it in extreme amounts. As usual, if you have a health question that you'd like us to tackle next week, write to us at biggerpicture@bfm.my or tweet us at BFM Radio. You can also send us a message via our Facebook page. Just look for us under BFM The Bigger Picture. We'll go through all the published papers and speak to all the necessary experts to get you your answers.
And that's all we have this hour. If you missed any part of the show, you can always download the podcast from our BFM app. I'm Tina Camilia.
I'm T. Xiao Yi.
This has been Health News Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.